Thank you for joining us today. You're listening to Crossing Cultures with Phil Metzger. You can connect with us on social media at Crossing Cultures or by visiting www.crossingculture.org. In today's episode, we revisit a conversation with Priscilla Dickens on pro-life and the gospel. If you want to hear more content like this, check out season 1 and 2 of Crossing Cultures on any podcast platform and YouTube. In these episodes, you'll find great conversations with Pastor Phil and various people on topics like what is culture, race and the gospel, LGBTQ and Christianity, and much more. This episode was originally published on May 26, 2021, and is titled Pro-Life and the Gospel. Now let's hop into today's conversation.
All right, well, thanks for joining us for this episode of Crossing Cultures. Remember, the whole show is about helping Christians learn how to connect to people who live, believe, or maybe think differently than they do. And I'm really excited about our show today, okay, for two reasons. Two reasons. Number one, I get to be joined by my wife again. And honestly, she's hosting this one more than I am, I think, this week, because we invited your friend. Okay, but she's my friend now too. No, she's not just your friend. We share our friends, okay? This is our friend Priscilla Dickens, and Priscilla is a part of a ministry that's focused on, like, it's a pro-life ministry at a pregnancy care clinic. And honestly, if I could, maybe Priscilla, you can just share a little bit about yourself, a little bit about what you're doing, because today on this episode, we want to talk about pro-life and what does that look like in the world in 2021? So yeah, maybe share a little bit about yourself.
A little bit about me. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me today.
It's our privilege.
I'm not going to lie. I was a little nervous, you know, and coming in and doing something like this. But I'm grateful to be here. I'm Priscilla, and I'm a native San Diegan, born and raised here in San Diego. I just believe that, you know, God has a way of putting things together in our lives and putting us where he wants us to be, where he wants us to be. And the fact that I'm a part of such an incredible ministry at the clinic is really kind of a full circle. I was a teen mom, and I was 14 when I had my twin daughters. They are now going to be 25 in July. And to say that my life was changed after having my girls is an understatement. I'm super grateful to be able to be a part of the ministry that I'm a part of, because, like I said, I believe that God sets us up and he orders our steps. And actually, a neighbor of mine told me about the clinics, and she knew my story, and she said, "Hey, come to an open house with me." That's how I found the clinic.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Wow. I volunteered for several months, and I've been there ever since.
Wow.
And I was offered a position to be the client services director, months in. But if anyone would have told me when I was 14 years old that I would be doing this work, I don't know if I would have believed them.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know if I would have, I don't know if I would have been. And so, you know.
You couldn't imagine that for yourself.
No.
Wow.
No, yeah. Not at all. Not
how
at all.
Long have you been there now? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You're fine. I've been there I'm on my working on my fourth year now.
Okay.
There. Wow. So, and as much as I've been blessed and grown being in a place like the clinic, I am so blessed by the clients that walk through the door because everyone is different. You know, everyone is in need of something different, and I do my best to leave my stuff at the door before I walk through those doors because I want to be available, and I want God to use me in any way he wants to for the mother and the father of the baby.
Wow.
And I don't want to miss the opportunity.
Right.
Because I get one shot to be with these families.
Yeah.
And I want to be available and I want to be present.
Wow.
And so when I'm there, it's just an incredible ministry. It really is. It really is.
I'm going to turn off the air while you ask the next question.
Well, I love your heart, Priscilla, and just I'm so grateful to call you my friend. Aww. And like just I've learned so much from you through your story and working there at the clinic and getting to even come and see it and see what's going on out there. But I feel like, and we've had these conversations sitting in the car or mm-hmm. sitting over the phone and mm-hmm. of just the topic, and I don't know if I'm jumping the gun here, but the topic of pro-life mm-hmm. is a passionate topic. We're it passionate really about pro-life, the sanctity of life, and especially when we're in kind of political seasons, we're voting, we're mm-hmm. making stances, we have strong opinions about mm-hmm. this, especially as believers, we believe in the sanctity of life. And I think, and we've talked about this, and maybe we can kind of unpack a little mm-hmm. bit of the thought of mm-hmm. how do we continue? I mean, your heart so much from what you've come from, I have always seen your heart has always been for the one.
Mm-hmm.
Always the one person that steps into that clinic, you see her, you mm-hmm. want to hear her story. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you the truth, that has radically impacted my life. And I want to thank you for that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I'm not telling that to prop you up. I'm telling you that sincerely from my heart, that because I think some things as radical and as important and as serious as pro-life, I think, unfortunately, over the course of politics and voting and things, and we're passionate about it. And I think sometimes along the line, we start to lose sight of the person.
Correct.
We start to lose sight of the individual,
yeah,
her story, mm-hmm. where she's coming from, because we need to give the unborn a voice.
Mm-hmm.
We need to give that unborn a platform. And mm-hmm. I do agree with that. Mm-hmm. But I believe that there's so much more facets to this.
100%.
What do you think? Like, how do you feel about those things?
Well, I mean, I definitely agree with you. And, you know, a lot of the resources that we provide at the clinic, you know, we provide the parenting classes, we provide the mom support groups, we provide, you know, diapers, you know, baby clothes, maternity clothes. But one of the biggest things that I really want the clinic to be able to hone in more is being able, because we can only do so much at the clinic. We want to be able to send the family to a church mm-hmm. that can wrap their arms around these families mm-hmm. and disciple them, because that's a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. Coming alongside, getting your hands dirty
mm-hmm.
and being present for these families.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I mean, it's okay for me to be like, rah, rah, rah for the baby, but mama needs help.
100%.
Daddy needs help.
100%.
You know, and so we as the church are supposed to be there to fill in the gaps, to be that help to
mm-hmm.
the family,
mm-hmm.
you know, because if they don't have the tools, they don't have the wherewithal, you know, or the support, how are they going to do?
Exactly.
How are they going to do? It's hard enough as it is.
100%.
It's hard enough.
Yeah.
So we have to be able to broaden that pro-life, that pro-life label or whatever you want to call it, because at the end of the day, we need to be here for each other. It's about the kingdom.
Exactly.
It's about 100%. The kingdom. It's about being able to come and just wrap our arms around the people that God puts in our path.
Mm-hmm.
Because anyone that comes through the door is worthy
yes.
of the compassion that Christ has provided to mm-hmm. each of us. We're worthy of it.
Exactly.
And it's not our job to do anything other than to show them compassion, mm-hmm. to come alongside, and to wrap our arms around them.
So you're in an area of life. You know, one of the things we talk a lot about on the show and in our church is we have to not see issues. We have to see people.
Bingo.
Because it's very different. You know, I can have a strong position on an issue.
Yeah.
You meet a person and you go, wait, hold on a second. I gotta rethink this.
Absolutely.
That's the goal, at least. So I'm curious as we talk about this. Like, you're dealing with you're engaged with people
mm-hmm.
who they're coming in at like the low of their life.
Absolutely.
I'm assuming, like, I'm kind of assuming that this is like once you get to this place, you're really there's a lot of things being questioned in your life.
100%.
And I almost wonder, like, what does it take in you personally to be prepared for that? Because to see the person, to not see the issue,
yeah.
you know, a mom comes in and it's like, because your heart has been, and what got you into this was the idea of that life matters.
Absolutely.
That babies matter.
Absolutely.
That the problem of abortion truly is a problem Correct. In the country. Mm-hmm. And, but then that's like, how do you do that when you're seeing people, mm-hmm. you know, somebody walks into that place at their lowest. How do you prepare for something like that?
You know, honestly, some days we don't know, well, most days we don't know what's coming because we take walk-ins all day mm-hmm. while we're there. For me personally, I have to remain grounded in my own faith. You know, I have to remain steadfast and I have to remain connected to my faith in God, because at the end of the day, without any of that, I cannot meet anyone at the door. Mm-hmm. I can't meet anyone at the door. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know if I answered your question.
No, totally.
But, for me, that's what we have to do. And yeah. even at the clinic, you know, we do, have time to pray together. You know, we have time to share and to really debrief when we do have a tough case that comes through the doors. Right. Because I'll tell you, there's some days, you know, I can't go straight home after I leave the clinic yeah. because there was a tough case mm-hmm. and I gotta decompress, yeah. you know, I don't want to take that home,
right.
you know? And so, you know, it's real.
Yeah, that's
it's so real.
So you're saying that as you acknowledge for your own life and as you're allowing the Lord to use your life, you're seeing, you're taking stock of your own heart
mm-hmm.
and as you're looking at people, because I think where we stub our toe as believers, I think we would all sit around a table and agree about the sanctity of life, of a child. All lives are important. But what do you do when a woman comes in and you love her and you embrace her with compassion, but she makes a choice mm-hmm. to end the pregnancy, to
Correct.
Determine, she chooses that. How do we continue to sanctify and to believe without shaming? Because mm-hmm. I think so often we think making a stance for righteousness, mm-hmm. we need to make sure that this person's choice, mm-hmm. if we don't agree with her choice, should be followed with shame
Absolutely.
And guilt and yeah. remorse yeah. and understand.
Or reminder that you're guilty. Reminder that what you did was wrong.
Yeah, there needs to be a prick and a reminder of yeah. that, whether we do a visual photograph
well,
or any kind of, we need to let her know what yeah. she's doing. And how do we find the balance between educating mm-hmm. with what you're doing? We're giving education mm-hmm. to women and men and not shaming people. Mm-hmm. And not at the same time, I think people I've talked to within the church will feel like, well, we don't want to condone abortion. Mm-hmm. I could never condone. So, and then it puts you in a in between two worlds. Okay, well, I'm not condoning, but this is a human person too that I'm Correct. Engaged with. Mm-hmm. So, how do we break those things apart? You know.
Yeah, I think, and you're gonna laugh when I say this because you're gonna know where I got it from. But I think as believers, sometimes we have amnesia.
Uh huh.
We forget that we have sin in our lives.
100%.
We forget that we are not always listening to what God is asking us to do.
Wow, so good.
We yeah. forget that, you know, we too need to be at the foot of the cross yeah. daily. Yeah. And so for me, you know, I am not God. And mm-hmm. so when I'm talking to my moms, I'm talking with them, you know, kind of like a big sister in a way.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm. I love that.
You know what, honey?
Mm-hmm.
Dang, this is a tough situation you
yes.
have. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough to parent. It's going to be tough to abort. And it's going to be tough to adopt your child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To you know,
yeah.
those are all the three choices you have.
Yeah, all three options
and so,
are tough. Yeah.
No, but my message to the moms a lot of times is, sweetie, don't let fear be mm-hmm. the reason.
That's good.
You decide something mm-hmm. in this moment. Don't let pressure or fear be the reason why you decide a decision. You make a decision in this moment.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Think about it. Mm-hmm. Here's all your these are their choices. Mm-hmm. Here's what it's going to look like. You have no easy choice.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are going to be hard.
Yes.
But do not make the decision under pressure or fear.
And do you think that, I love that so much. I almost think that, like, you know, for most like Christians or even most people, like you're not really around someone who's in that situation.
Sure.
You know, or it's not talked about. That's the real issue. It's not talked about.
So that's another conversation.
Right?
Why aren't you doing life with other people
right.
that aren't looking like you?
Exactly.
That aren't doing life the way maybe you do life.
Exactly.
What are you doing?
And we tend to do this, though. When we decide to do that, we tend to pity people yeah. rather than to like engage with them as
no.
just normal human beings like yeah. us.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
We're all at the same level.
Exactly.
At the foot of the cross.
100%.
Amen.
Equal life.
Yeah.
So, to that point then, you know, we have this situation where you don't have good options. You're not offering like, and that's a hard one for a lot of people who are not engaged in this to think about. Like, what do you mean there's not a good option? The only option is that you keep this baby or you give this baby up for adoption. There is not a third option. Like, but you're engaged with people on this level every
Absolutely.
Single day.
Absolutely.
So you can't just go into this saying that's not an option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though I love that the fact that this whole ministry that you've been a part of and that is your heart, it's a pro-life ministry.
It is.
But it's engaged in pro-life for adults too.
Correct.
So how do you help them work through some of those, you know, in like a gritty, it's not all pretty and clean.
It's not cute.
Yeah. How do you help them to work through these? And I know no case is the same.
It's not. You know, really, it's providing the resources, providing the platform for them to even, I mean, I have some moms who come to the clinic and just sit down and have a cup of coffee with mm-hmm. me mm-hmm. because they don't have nobody else to sit down and have a coffee, cup of coffee yeah. with and just mm-hmm. care about them just for the sake of caring for them, mm-hmm. not because they want something from them, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, just providing these spaces for the moms. The other thing is we have, you know, we have moms who have had abortions. I mean, tons of moms. Even in the church,
right? Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the last numbers I saw, it's 20% of women in the church aborting their children.
Right.
Wow.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So we have a ministry where it's a post-abortion healing ministry where all the women who are teaching this curriculum and going through this process have had abortions themselves. Mm-hmm. So there's no shame.
Yes.
Because shame is a major, major factor that plays mm-hmm. into a lot of our moms that have abortions. Yeah. I mean, women in the church walking around with this heavy burden on their shoulders.
Yeah.
And they're just emulating. They're dripping in shame.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, like I said, providing these resources and these spaces for our families is a lot of the ways that we are able to sort of bridge the gap.
You are listening to Crossing Cultures with Phil Metzger. If this ministry has added value to you and you would like to hear more content, you can subscribe at our Crossing Cultures podcast or visit us online at www.crossingculture.org. If you would like to support us financially, you can do that on our website at www.crossingculture.org. Now let's hop back into today's conversation.
I think that's such a big thing that I think even this past year when we were voting and we were making our choices on elections and voting on different policies and things that we want and people are passionate about their, you know, certain things and, you know, we do. But I wonder how often, at least some of the ladies I've talked to within our church who have had abortions.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've aborted. It could be 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And as Christian conservatives or whatever mm-hmm. we want to call it, you know, we're pro-life
yeah.
and yet we're not considering the mm-hmm. shame and the guilt that
right.
these women have to kind of hide under and just kind of have to shake, you know, and there's not an outlet of like, let's reach out.
Right.
Let's see, because I do believe that as God, when we make choices, we all have, like you said, church folk have amnesia. Like
yeah.
we forget
yeah.
where we've come from.
Pretty much.
And so it's actually easier when you live under shame. If you've had an abortion, it's easier just to keep your mouth shut and quiet and oh yeah. And oftentimes the people that I know are they're the most vocal about pro-life and yet they themselves have had it. And it's almost like this compensation, would you say?
Mm-hmm.
That you
oh,
can
totally.
See that the shame and
totally.
This like, I'm going to be even harder on the next generation. I'm going to push even
mm-hmm.
harder. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
but what happens when you, as you're saying in your story, and I know it's unique and I know it's individual, but there's something powerful, Priscilla, about your story that you've taken your scenario, what you've walked through, and rather than allow shame
mm-hmm.
and guilt to lead you,
yeah. Yeah.
you've brought compassion
yeah.
and love. And how has that brought healing into your own journey?
Well, I mean, I like to say it's a combo package.
I love a combo.
I love myself a combo.
You know?
Yes.
So therapy has been huge for me.
Good. Yes.
Yeah. Huge for me. Because, I mean, the way my girls got here on this earth is not a good situation.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And my faith in the Lord, obviously, mm-hmm. first and foremost, you know, and really having a community of people around me to wrap their arms around me and come alongside me mm-hmm. and tell me that I mattered, mm-hmm. that, you know, despite any situation, anything that has happened, anything that someone has said to me, you know, that I matter, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I mean, just being here today, you know, I get a little emotional.
You're allowed to.
But God is, he's in the business of doing some powerful stuff in our lives.
Amen, definitely. Amen.
I'm curious about something. I kind of have two questions, but they're not related, so I'll just do one at a time here. The person that comes in, like, nobody's case is the same. Mm-hmm. But you see a lot of like similar patterns.
Sure.
When someone comes in saying, I'm planning on having an abortion or whatever that might be, what is the predominant reason? Or just when you think of that, what is the reason that's brought out? Like it's because of, I don't think it is what people think it is.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah. So, I had a situation just recently and, you know, very real situation. Mom lost her job. She already had 4 children already. Her and her fiance were struggling to make ends meet. I mean, this is real stuff.
Real.
And we live in San Diego.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, I'm pregnant. I don't know. I think I'm just here to see, get an ultrasound just to see how far along I am because I'm aborting this child. I can't bring this child into the world, into this struggle that I'm in right now. Very real stuff.
Yeah, that's real.
And who am I to sit there and just be like, well, you can't not abort your child.
Right.
That's not what I'm here for. Mm-hmm. So listening to her heart and just meeting her where she's at. Mm. And I said, you know, honey, I said, that's rough. You know, just really empathize. I can't talk.
I know. It's a really hard word to say anyways. I mean? Yeah.
Just empathize. Meeting her with empathy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And when we get into the ultrasound room, she's 5 months pregnant.
Wow. Did she know she was that far along?
No.
She didn't know that either.
She was very petite, didn't.
Right. So she had no.
She had no idea.
Oh, my goodness.
So we talked and things were different.
Right.
Things were different for her after she had her ultrasound.
Mm.
And, you know, we sat with her, talked with her, and I, you know, gave her options. You know, I said, hey, here's some information on adoption.
Mm.
Here's some information on abortion, mm-hmm. just some education.
Yeah.
I want to educate you. The nurse educated her on all of the medical stuff about that. And here's some information if you choose to keep your baby. She messaged us 2 days later and she's keeping her baby.
Wow. So you think that, I want to follow that with that exact point of, one of the ministries of this particular clinic, but it's probably common in most of these pro-life clinics is you do ultrasounds.
Correct.
So why do they do these ultrasounds? Like you're providing a lot of different services. Yeah. What's the reasoning for that?
So the reasoning for the ultrasounds is there's 3 reasons. It's to be able to check for the heartbeat, to check to make sure baby is in the right position in the body. Mm-hmm. And the third reason is really to solidify that they're pregnant.
Right. Okay. So to help them to see this is real.
Yeah. This is a baby.
Yeah. Right.
You know, baby. And, I've seen babies waving at people on the screen.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I've seen babies doing yoga. I mean, it's just the most beautiful thing that I've ever seen. And it's incredible.
Wow.
It's just incredible.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that helps to, you know, kind of like what we're talking about, helping a group of people who may have a big, strong stance against abortion, but they don't, they're not connected to the people. That's what we're talking about.
Correct.
And so what you're doing is helping somebody who's considering an abortion connect to that person.
Correct.
That's in them.
Correct.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
So would you say that the number one then, like, and again, we're not statistic people. We're not doing all that
no,
this is a conversation, but you're in this ministry, you're in this area. Would you say then that the number, like what you predominant reason why girls are coming and saying, I need to have an abortion is I can't afford to take care of this baby?
Money is a huge factor. But the other factor that I've seen is it's shame.
Shame. Wow.
I've had women from all different walks of life. I can't bring that shame on my father. I can't bring that shame on my family. I'm in school right now. I'm trying to focus on my career. All of the things, all of the things, all of the things that are very real.
Wow.
But who's speaking up for the baby?
Yeah. Right.
Who's also educating the mother to be that there are other options. Mm. There are other resources that are available to you. Like, who's doing that?
Right. You guys, nobody else.
You're listening to Crossing Cultures with Phil Metzger. If this ministry has added value to you and you would like to hear more content, you can subscribe to our Crossing Cultures podcast or visit us online at crossingculture.org or philmetzger.com. We would love to send you a copy of Jeremy and Adi Kemp's book on marriage titled In Unison for your gift of $10 or more. You can do that on our website at crossingculture.org or philmetzger.com. Now let's hop back into today's conversation.
How many of these moms feel totally alone? Like, cause shame keeps coming up, so are most of these moms feeling very, like they
isolated,
can't talk to anybody?
Very much so.
Wow.
Very much so. I mean, and I don't know if any of you have ever felt alone, but to feel alone is one thing, but to feel alone, have limited resources, to not know where you're going to lay your head.
Right.
I mean, real, real stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's rough.
Yeah. And I'll answer, I don't know what that feels like.
Yeah. And thank you.
There's thank all you. These factors. It's like, oh, do you know what it's like to feel alone? Yes. But do I know what it's like to be homeless and alone? Do I know what it's like to have shamed my parents?
Correct.
And be kicked out? And I have no idea what this is like.
Yeah.
And these are the girls that are, you know, and again, I mean, there's no stereotype of one. It's so broad now, but these are the people that God's bringing to your path.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like we tend to, and I say we as like a Christian group, like what an opportunity that would be if we could get past just seeing like one issue.
Right.
To reaching like a girl who's hurting.
Correct.
It's like, that's like the greatest opportunity in the world, it sounds
100%.
Like. 100%. But we're missing it.
We are. And I'm not sure exactly how or why we're missing it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean.
Like, it's right there.
What is the kingdom about?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I wonder if, like, we've become, because we know that there are these clinics provided, I think it's often easy as a church, and I can't speak for every church, but, you know, I think as a Christian, I can only take stock for my own self, but sometimes it's easy to think, oh, well, there's a place I can send these girls to and then they can get it worked out. But what if I take into account and my sphere, my world, my church, my neighborhood, daughters, my friends?
Right.
Why does it have to only be, well, let's send them off to the clinic? Mm-hmm. No disrespect. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful that there are facilities in our county that are providing these services. But what happens if we all feel like I have a place in this?
Correct.
I could be a part of this.
Correct.
I might not be able to work. I might not be able to volunteer at a clinic, but I can just open my front door. Like, how does that work? How do we, like, is that even possible?
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And what a concept.
Right.
I mean, I mean, you know, I mean, wow, we're making some progress now.
Right?
Now you know, like, I mean, if we're, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I know I'm stating the obvious here, but sometimes we kind of have to have things laid out for us and be like, but how do we work these things out? Because this is already being provided. We have this, so I'm good.
And we see that. I feel like we see that in almost every area like the church is like, hey, what are you doing for this?
Yeah.
What are you doing for this? Like, what is the church doing for this? What is the church? But like, the church is human beings.
Yes. Correct.
like we're not an entity that like, you know, is subcontracted into every area of a human being's life. Mm-hmm. It's human beings reaching human beings.
Right.
But we feel so, I think we feel ill-equipped.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I think as a guy, I feel ill-equipped.
Oh, but
there's all these things. So yeah, sure. Speak
to that. And you know, it's, you know, but there's a place in the kingdom for each and every one of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if we are making ourselves available.
Mm-hmm.
And if, because, you know, we have male advocates, because when the fathers come in here with the moms into the clinic, we want a male to be able to put his arm around that father to be, who's never been a father, doesn't know how to be a father, and say, you know, hey, how can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can I serve you? How can I come alongside? What do you need during this process?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are you feeling about this?
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling about this unplanned pregnancy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody can help out, and everyone can do something. If all of us just do a little bit,
yeah.
I mean, imagine,
right?
Imagine how beautiful that would be,
mm-hmm.
you know?
We hope you've been enjoying this discussion on pro-life and the gospel. To hear more conversations, check out seasons 1 and 2 of Crossing Cultures. You can find Crossing Cultures on any podcast platform and YouTube. Now let's hop back into today's conversation.
It just starts with the one. That's what you always tell me. Like, it just, I'm here for the one.
That's it.
And I think when we start to lower and just see, like, it's one person. It's just seeing people. It's given the same dignity and the sanctity of life that I believe for the unborn child. I want to learn to see that in each and every human person I interact with.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a challenge, I think, that we want to set out here. And it's a challenge to myself. So it's not just me wanting to challenge our platform. I want to take challenge for myself of, like, are we putting ourselves in positions that are allowing us for these conversations and for these interactions? Or
mm-hmm.
have we insulated ourselves so much
yeah.
that we have no context? I have no idea what I would tell someone who was in this situation. Well, and that's on me.
Yeah.
That's on me. It's like, oh, well, I'll volunteer a couple hours a week at the clinic, and then I'll, you know, get my brownie points. And I'm not disrespecting people who do that. Honestly, I'm not. But I think there is a place of, like, but am I doing it in just my day-to-day?
Correct.
Am I doing it and just, am I having that conversation with my daughters?
Correct.
Am I talking with the young adults in our church?
Right.
Are we talking about these things?
Yeah.
Or is it just something that we're just kind of, we know where we stand on pro-life. We know what it is. And it's just kind of this cutoff conversation.
Yeah, because no, that's so good. Because I find as a pastor speaking to people all the time, I have to be so careful. And I think maybe this is something that's changed recently. And I mean, hopefully for good in some churches, where I have to be aware of the fact that, like, when I'm speaking about one thing, I'm also speaking about the opposite of that thing.
Mm.
So when I'm promoting pro-life, even if I don't mean to,
mm-hmm.
I could be shaming
sure.
a whole nother group of people.
Absolutely.
Like, unintended.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of guys have intended to shame, and that's, you know, but I even see that in the unintentional.
100%.
You know, where it's like, I have to be thoughtful, you know, 100%. But I think a part of that thoughtfulness comes by being around people like you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're in that, you know, God didn't call me to that as a singularly focused ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't have a you around to
mm-hmm.
guide that,
mm-hmm.
then I'm gonna tend to lean in a particular mm-hmm. direction.
Mm-hmm. It's our default.
It's our default, yeah. And I think
Absolutely.
as Christians, we kind of default to, like, but this is right, but this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't realize that the people that we're speaking to most of the time have gravitated to the wrong.
Absolutely.
And there's shame in
right.
all that. So that was my second, I've asked like 15 since then, but my second question in that was going to be on the, you know, you said 20% of church folk, church women have had abortions. I've never heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
And out of ignorance, I'm saying that, not like, how could you say that? I'm saying, how do you think the people that come into your clinic feel about Christianity or the church? Because we're not good overall. You know, I'm kind of indicting a whole
mm-hmm.
group of people, which is unfair, but I don't know that I'm wondering, do people see the church as a compassionate, empathetic environment where they can bear their soul and be lifted up? Or do they see this as like, I would never go there or be a part of that because
mm-hmm.
I would never be welcomed. I'm curious if you could speak to that. And again, you can't speak to all
churches
and all, but
in
your understanding,
my understanding, I mean, you know, the clinic, you know, is there really, I mean, to share the gospel is secondary, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. there. We're, you know, some days that happens, some yeah. days it doesn't.
Totally.
You know, but to get back to your question, you know, I've seen a lot of church hurt in a lot of our mamas and daddies, you know, and so we have to have wisdom and we have to have discernment on when we're interacting with each other, because, you know, I can't, it's not my job to condemn or to tell someone what they're doing wrong that's not my job. You know, my job is to really hear, listen, and to provide a safe space for people to share what it is they want to share. And, you know, and to be able to provide insight mm-hmm. and resources and just really a kind, non-judgmental ear. Mm. That's my job.
Yeah.
First, you know, and I don't know if I answered your question.
No, I feel like that's the answer for why we're all here.
Yeah, 100%.
That's our job.
Absolutely.
All of it. Because I think it's easy to say, okay, well, girl, you got that gift. You're in the place where you're supposed to be. That's your job.
Yeah, you go do that.
And so it's easy to be like, wow, your testimony and like what the calling upon God and the calling of God upon your life, excuse me, all these things fit together. And so I can feel really good about this conversation and be like, wow, you're right where you're supposed to be. But I want to walk away and say,
yeah.
God, what about me? How can Absolutely. You use me? How can I be that?
And I think one of the things we need to do is we need to stay in touch with our own shame stories.
Wow.
Because none of us are walking around here without shame.
Yeah.
100%.
Some level of it.
Yep.
And I think being able to just look within and stay there, you're able to show someone else some empathy and some sympathy mm-hmm. and compassion. And when we can't start there as believers, we failed before we've even started.
Yep.
So that is how we're going to be able to, I feel, you know, that 20% of women in the church, mm-hmm. we're all walking around here with something in our backpacks.
Yeah.
And we need to stay in touch with that.
Yeah.
It needs to be at the forefront of our hearts, because who are we to shame anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
Who are we to judge anyone else? Who are we to sit there and get on our little self-righteous little boxes that yeah. we sometimes can get on
yeah.
when we are also with sin?
Right.
He was without sin, cast the first stone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we tend to, and it's such a good word and to remind us that, like, my shame story is not less shameful.
Bingo.
Just because it was an abortion.
Bingo.
Doesn't that mean part. My shame story is mm-hmm. less shameful.
Exactly.
And the glory of, like, the beauty of the fact that, like, in the kingdom of God, sin is sin.
Bingo.
And it's hard for us to accept that because yeah. consequence is different.
Correct.
But from God's perspective, it's like you have a holy God looking at unholy people.
Correct.
And yet maybe it's my own insecurities, my own fears, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I want to make myself look better mm-hmm. at the expense of other people. We've talked a lot about, like, dignity in the Christian faith. Dignity comes from a God who is so willing to, he took all shame on himself. Mm-hmm. He doesn't pass the shame around.
Correct.
He took all of it.
Amen.
And we have to learn how to be able to, like, 100%. I love that phrase, a shame story.
Yes. And, you know, one of the things that I joke about sometimes with my friends, I'm like, I'm under construction.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So don't let this makeup and these cute clothes fool you.
Exactly.
I've got stuff
exactly. right,
that
right.
I'm constantly working yeah, with yeah, the Lord yeah, with. Yeah. You know what I mean? I need him more than 100%. I can even, more than the Aram. I need him
yes. right.
more than anything.
More yeah. than anything.
And so, you know, and sometimes I just can't stand myself sometimes because yeah. right. I'm just like, Priscilla, really? Like, you know you were wrong the way right, you said right, what right. you just said to right. your husband. You know what I mean? Yeah, you yeah, know you yeah. were wrong with that thought that you
yeah.
just had.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Whatever it is. And
yeah.
so,
yeah.
you know, I'm, yeah, my sin is here, you yeah. know? It's not back there somewhere.
Yeah, it's ever present.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, I want to thank you for doing this.
Oh, wow.
Seriously.
Thanks so much for having me. This was fun.
What a guest you are. Oh, it's just
thank
like
you so
it's
much, Bill.
Easy conversation. You know, this is yeah, she's like
you're
yeah.
not a guest, you're a sister.
I know.
Yeah, we're no. family.
Yes,
here.
We are.
Yeah. I'm glad that she shared you yeah, today,
oh,
you know,
man, this
just
is
a
my
little
sister
bit
from another mystery.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, grateful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So grateful. And yeah, this is I mean, this is yeah, I'm just grateful. So grateful.
We want people to, you know, I think everybody has a everybody seems to have an opinion on pro-life and abortion and these things. And we thought, man, we need to talk to somebody who doesn't have an opinion, but has a heart and mm-hmm. is invested.
Amen.
And I want to hear from the people who are invested in something, yeah. telling us where things are at. I don't need to hear all the facts and the figures.
Correct.
It's out
Correct.
There. It I is. Can Google that information.
Absolutely.
But you're with human beings.
Yeah. That part.
You're
Absolutely.
With human beings. And I want to hear, we're wanting to connect people to humanity.
100%.
And we believe that like people do live, believe, or think differently than we do.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't make them my enemy.
No.
We're
no.
all made in the image of God.
Yes.
We're unique. We have
yes.
our own shame story.
That's
a new one that I am
yeah.
stealing like
yeah.
crazy.
Put it in your pocket.
Uh-huh. Yep. I'm wearing that one, baby. And then at the same time though, like there's a God who loves all of us.
Amen.
And so thank
Amen.
You. Thank you.
Thank
you
so much for having me today.
And yeah.
I mean, and it's Mother's Day. Yeah.
And it's Mother's Day. Come on.
Come on.
How does
wow.
that happen?
I didn't plan that.
We didn't either.
Yeah, and I messaged her. I said, you know, it's Mother's Day on Sunday.
We got like, that, and we're like, that's perfect.
That's
yeah.
perfect.
It's How
just
precious
perfect.
Is that, right?
Yes. It is.
Yeah.
So we appreciate
Thank
it
you
so
much.
So, yeah. All right, you've been listening and or watching our amazing conversation with Priscilla Dickin, who has been serving and working in a pregnancy care clinic and just giving us some great insight and heart for how to see the gospel, how to see our own shame stories, and how to see the world around us. So thanks for being with us on this episode, and we look forward to you joining us in our next episode.
'Cause life matters no matter how far along you think you are. Life matters. She sits alone in a room. Doesn't know what to do.
No.
She's only 17, got a baby in the womb. And fear, it consumes her mind. Her people ain't really giving her the best advice. No. Girl, you way too young, you way too young. Go ahead and get this procedure done.
Easy.
But she doesn't know if that's the way she wanna go. So she tried to tell herself it's just a form of birth control. Oh, she tries to hide it from her parents, but it's so apparent,
so apparent
that she's pregnant, but somehow, man, they didn't
How
notice. And
see?
She was losing weight, locked away in the bathroom, throwing up, thinking to herself, am I grown to be a grown up? Nah, and is this baby worth giving up?
Yeah.
'Cause that's my life that I'm giving up.
Ay.
In every sign and tear that it's a flow. It's like a tick-tock telling her it's time to go.
Life matters no matter how far along you think you are.
You think you are.
And there's a heartbeat inside of you that you can't ignore.
Can't just ignore.
The kind of pain that you will feel you can't just shake off. Can't just shake off. Don't believe the lies. No, don't believe the lies. No. Four siblings I will never know.
I will never know. No, no.
I don't wanna see you go down that road.
No, 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 no.
I see it every day when I look in her eyes.
I see it every day, every
and
day.
And mama, I just wanna say that I love you.
I love you.
And thank you for giving me life. Thank you for giving me life.
You gave me.
Thank you for giving me life, yeah. Thank you for giving me life.
You gave me.
Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for giving me life.
You gave me.
Thank you for giving me life, yeah. Thank you for giving me life.
You gave me.
Thank you for giving me.
Come from a family of six.
Now wait, hold on. I come from a family of 10. And sometimes I like to sit and pretend like what life would have been if you had gotten a chance to live. I should have had some more brothers. I should have had some more sisters. And sometimes I like to sit and wonder. Maybe one day I'll see you up in heaven. I'll see you up in heaven.
Life matters no matter how far along you think you are.
can't just shake off. Can't just shake off. Don't believe the lies. No, don't believe the lies. No. Four siblings I will never know. I will never know. No, no. I don't wanna see you go down that road. No, 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 no. I see it every day when I look in her. Just wanna say that I love you.
I love you.
And thank you for giving me life. Thank you for giving me life.
You gave me.
Thank you for giving me life, yeah. Thank you for giving me life.
You gave me.
Thank you for giving me life.
I just wanna dedicate this song to my brothers and my sisters, Asaph, Jeb, Zora, and Ruby. And I know I didn't get to meet you down here, but I know one day I'll meet you in heaven. And I just want to say that I love you, and I'll see you soon.
If you are looking for a pregnancy care clinic in the San Diego area, book an appointment today at unplannedparenthood.org. Again, that's unplannedparenthood.org. The Pregnancy Care Clinic provides resources like free pregnancy tests, emotional support, ultrasounds, support classes, and much more. Check out their website at unplannedparenthood.org for more information. Thank you for listening to Crossing Cultures with Phil Metzger. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For more content, you can subscribe to our podcast, Crossing Cultures. Visit us at crossingculture.org, or you can connect with us on social media. If you live in San Diego, we would love to see you in person. Calvary San Diego meets on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. You can find our address at www.calvarysd.com. We're a new show, and we would love to hear from you. Would you leave us a voice message at 619-500-4772? Again, that's 619-500-4772, and let us know how this show is reaching you. And pray about supporting the ministry of Crossing Cultures in prayer and financially as we seek to connect to those who may live, believe, or think differently than we do for the sake of the gospel. Visit us at crossingculture.org. Thank you for being with us, and we hope you join us next week on Crossing Cultures.